Welcome to the 11 o'clock worship hour at the Hayward Seventh-day Adventist Church in Hayward, California. It is a multicultural Adventist church that is worshiping God under the banner of the three angels' messages, including the fourth angel's message of the gospel, which God wants to be proclaimed to all of the world, that came in a special way in the 1888 message that God gave this people in the Minneapolis Conference. It's a message of righteousness by faith, a unique understanding of justification by faith, including the uplifted Savior on the cross who forgives us of our sins, who died for us, and who is now serving as our high priest to minister his cleansing power in order that we may be prepared for Jesus' second coming. So we welcome you to this hour of worship.
Happy Sabbath. Wow. I don't know why the pulpit's so far back there. All right. So the title of my sermon today is, What is Love? And that's where we're going to begin. What is love? Now, man has tried to define what love is for centuries. I mean, there are all kinds of definitions that you can find if you go out in Webster or just Google the word. There's a lot of things that'll come up. And typically, when we try to define love, it never seems that we can quite grasp it, that we can ever quite say, this is the definitive definition of love. I mean, if I wanted to say, what is a dog, we could define a four-legged furry animal, and you would know that that is a dog, and we had found a good definition for it. But if I said, what is love, and I gave you a definition, some of you would be, yeah, that works, and others would be, not quite. So, interestingly enough, there are two different ways to define a word. The first way, which is in the positive, which is to describe what the idea, in this case, is. This is most commonly used by dictionaries. Such, again, with dog. If you look up dog, it says what a dog is, a four-legged furry animal, man's best friend. But there's also the negative. And the negative is how what you define is not what love is, but what love is not. This is what's commonly found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, or commonly known as the love chapter. It says, love is not envy. Love is not, and on it goes. But today, we're going to look at love in the positive, what love is. So, hopefully you're already turned here, but John chapter 13, let us see how Jesus, our Lord and Master, defines love. I'm going to start in verse 33. Little children, I am with you a little while longer. You shall seek me, and as I said to the Jews, now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot go. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Did you guys catch it? Did you guys hear the definition? Some of you are like, I don't know, he's kind of crazy. Well, you see, here's the thing. Christ didn't define love in action. Or rather, I should say, he didn't define it in words. He didn't say, yada, 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 there's a definition of love. Christ defined love in action. Now, we may say, how is this possible that Christ defines a noun in action? Simple answer is, it's not possible. Because you see, Christ was not talking about a noun when he was talking about love. He was talking about the verb to love. You see, the question is not, what is love? The question is, what is it to love? How do we love? That is truly the question. And you see, Christ exemplified this by giving us the definition of a verb. Because when you try to define a verb, you don't define what that specific thing is. That works for nouns. What you define when you define a verb is you define the action, the results of that. When you talk, you say, oh, what's swimming? Well, someone says swimming is moving your arms out in a certain particular motion while trying to go through water. That would be defining swimming. You're defining the action. And so here, likewise, Christ defines the action. And of course you say, well, how does he define the action? Because you see, Christ says, I want you to love one another as I have loved you. And that's the hint. You see, Christ does not want us to love each other as we define love. Christ wants us to love each other as Christ defines love. But there's something more important as well about the verb. You see, again, a verb implies action. And so likewise, our love must be defined by actions. You see, all too often we say, oh, well, I love this person out on the street. And we say, I really do love them with a Christian love. But if you don't do anything for them, what is your love? It is empty. If you do not go and help that person, if you see an old lady crossing the street and you think to yourself, someone should help her, but don't, do you really love that person? No. We must act. We are called to action. You see, again, Christ gave us a verb, not a noun. This is not an ethereal idea. All the good thoughts in the world mean nothing. Absolutely nothing if you do not act on them. What good is it if you see someone dying in a ditch and you think to yourself, oh, someone should help them, and then drive on? What good did it do that person? Not a thing. But you know, those are faraway examples. Let's bring it home. What good does it do when we think about that beggar on the street, and believe me, there's tons of them around Hayward. I know at least three of them by name, just going from work. Okay? What good does it do if we think, well, you know, I gave to him money yesterday. I he's always there. He doesn't really help. We're called to love that person. We're called to help that person. When we say, no, you know, I see him every day, does Christ say in the Sermon on the Mount, if anyone asks of you, only if it's the second time, give? Does he say, if when you lend money, expect it not to come back, but only if this is the first time he's asked? No. Christ says, give. And that's all he says. He doesn't put conditions on it. He doesn't say, well, you know, you gave to him yesterday or last week. I think that's enough, you know. I mean, that's okay. That's not what Christ says at all. Christ says give. Christ says love. But it's more than that. You know, to really bring it home, let's talk about our homes. Let's talk about our kids. When we think about our kids, or in my case, my little brothers, when we think about those that are around us at home and we say, you know, it'd be really nice of me to bring my spouse or my mom home some flowers today, and we don't, what good did that nice thought do? Because you see, the thing is, even though God knows that you had the best of intentions, God didn't ask us in this verse to love him. He asked us to love each other as he loves us. And the thing is, I can't read your thoughts. Your spouse can't read your thoughts. Your child can't read your thoughts. Your parents can't read your thoughts. So if you never act, if you never do those little things, if you never say, okay, let's go get ice cream today, or sure, you can stay up an hour later, or sure, Mom, I'd love to do the dishes for you tonight. If you never tell those things, if you never act out your love for one another, they don't know it. How does the beggar on the street know that you love them? How do your children know you love them? It's by the things you provide for them. It's the things you do for them. You know, there's a saying, talk is cheap. And it's true. Talk is cheap. Why do we sit here? Why do we think, well, I don't know. I mean, that's a lot. It is a lot. But you know what? There's also more hope to this. The thing is, we're not called to do our love simply because we're altruistic beings, simply because it's goodness within us. If that was the case, we'd all fail miserably. Because believe me, none of us, and I mean none of us, has that kind of love within them. Okay? None of us. The other part of this is that Christ is our example. He says, you are to love one another as I have loved you. Now, we got to back up a little bit about that, about Christ being our example. Hopefully, you're still in chapter 13 here with me, okay? If you are, let's back up to verse 12, and I'll begin reading. And so when he had washed their feet and taken their garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for I am so. If I then, the Lord and teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash another's feet. For I gave you an example that you should also do as I did to you. Truly, truly I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, neither is the one who sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. You see, Christ knew that we would have this conversation 2,000 years later. Christ knew that if he didn't show us the example, we would never know. You see, Christ washed their feet to set them up. I know, it's kind of strange to think of. But in his infinite mercy, he knew that by washing their feet, he could give them a concrete example of just how much his love meant to them. You see, when Christ washed their feet, he was saying, I love you so much that I'm going to serve you, that I am going to do this for you, to show you that I, the ruler of all the universe, do not let pride get in the way of my love for you. And that is the love that Christ has shown for us. It's amazing. I mean, the whole foot washing thing is a sermon in and of itself that I can't even go into. But it's just amazing the love shown in that act, the humility, the mercy. It's amazing how much Christ has loved us. I really can't describe it. And it's plain to see the similarity of the two passages. I mean, even as we read it, it says in verse 15, for I give you an example that you should do as I did to you. Or verse 14, if I have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. It's kind of like Christ is saying, or similarly, I should say, verse 34 could be said the same way. If I have loved you, you also ought to love one another. See the comparison. Again, the example is on Christ, because surely of our own love, we could get nowhere. But that's the hope. That's the beauty of it. You see, when we look to ourselves, we fail. Such is life. All too often, as Peter was mentioned earlier today, when we look to ourselves, we drown. But when we keep our eyes on God, we can do the impossible. When we keep on our eyes on God, we can tread water. When we keep our eyes on God, we can have love for one another. You know, it's funny because I can give you story after story of what it means to love another person. And I can give you examples of what specific acts of love are. One such example, a man walks into a store. He's there with his young daughter. By young, I mean probably around the 40s, so not really young. But he's there with his young daughter, and they walk into the store, and the daughter says, "Get whatever you want, Dad." The man behind the desk says, "Can I help you with anything?" And the man says, looks up into the other man's eyes, and he says, "Get me what you would get." Well, the clerk thinks this is strange, but says, "Okay." And so he prepares him an ice cream the way the clerk would get it. And sure enough, the man is delighted and he likes it. And he says, "Wow, this is really good." Well, throughout the next couple of weeks, the same man and his daughter and his family keep coming in. And the clerk says hi and is jovial with them, jokes with them. You know, simply being a good clerk. But eventually, the clerk notices that the man stopped coming in with his family. So he wonders about this. Well, 2 weeks later, after he notices this, his daughter, that same young woman, comes in, and the clerk offhandedly remarks, "Hey, I haven't seen you. Where's your father today?" She says, "He died 2 weeks ago. I just wanted to come in and say thank you for being so nice to him in his last days. He had a terminal cancer." She walks out. We don't know what little kindnesses that we do or how they affect other people. We don't know when we're showing love how far that love goes. We really don't. We don't know who will be here the next day or who God put us just to show. Just to show. I'm sure some of you have noticed that I haven't really defined what love is. And you're right, I haven't. Do you know why? Because I can't define love for you. You see, Christ said, "Love one another as I have loved you." Not as Joshua Barney has loved you, but as I has loved you. And I cannot tell you how Christ loves you in your own lives. That's not my place, nor could I even begin to do it. That's Christ's place. Christ is the only one that can show you how to love. I can't. So, today, if you would like to feel Christ's love for the 100th time or the first time, I would invite you to come here and kneel as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as people are coming up, as we've contemplated on your love and what it means, Lord, fill us with that love, Lord. Give us what you have promised me and shown me these past couple of days, Lord. Give us that full feeling, that acceptance, that love that only you can give, Lord. That love that fills us with such joy that none can stop us. That love that fills us with so much joy and so much contentment that we can't help but lead loving to others, Lord. Give us your gift. Give us your love. Give us your hope. And Lord, I pray for everyone that is gathered here in front. I pray that you give them an extra measure of your love, Lord. For we are all hurting, Lord, myself included. Let us fear your love today as never before. In your name I pray. Amen.
Jesus is the way to the heart of a loving Father, and God reveals that love to us through his cross. We hope that his convicting love has reached your heart through this message. Feel free to contact us at our webpage, http://hayward.netadventist.org, or if you prefer, telephone number is 510-782-3422. Also, you can email us at haywardsdachurch@aol.com. May God's presence go with you through this coming week is our prayer.